Amen. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, what verse? Beginning in verse 4. To verses 9, we want to conclude this three-part message, the principles of fellowship. As we conclude, we begin at verse 4 to 9. Again, verse 4 says, I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And so today we want to conclude this three-part message, principles of fellowship, principles of fellowship, principles of fellowship. We discovered and learned from the verses 4 through 7 in this pericope that if we are going to develop a heart of fellowship, be able to live up to the standards of fellowship, that it becomes necessary and it is a necessity that we appreciate what God has done. Appreciate what God has done. That means thank him for what he's done in our lives. The more we appreciate what he's done, the less time we have to point at what other people and where other people are. Amen. Because looking at our own lives, reflecting in our own lives how God has brought us through, ought to be a reminder, an ever reminder, that we've not always been perfect. Amen. 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 That we've not always had it together. We too have had some struggles and have had some ordeals and some afflictions, some problems that we had to overcome. And if truth be told, we ought to thank God because he is, watch this, delivering us even now from struggles and obstacles in our lives. Amen. So he has, what has he done? Verses 4 and 7 teaches us that he's favored us. He has favored us, has given us grace. That's what Paul is teaching the church at Corinth, that he's given them grace. He's graced you, is what he says. He says that I thank God because for you, always for you, because of the grace of God, his mercy has been shown in their lives. He says, you've been prospered, or he has prospered you. Meaning that they were, verse 5, they were enriched in him, being able to learn of him. That's enriched. That's being enriched. That's the prosperity of every believer is the more knowledge he gains in Christ. The more he knows Christ, the stronger he becomes. He says, God has given you a testimony. That testimony is about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ out on Calvary, where he died for all of our sins. And then he says that he has empowered you. He's empowered you, given you gifts and abilities that only God can give to work his works so that his kingdom is expanded. He teaches us, he teaches that church in Corinth, and remember, that church in Corinth had become infiltrated with worldliness. They were becoming influenced with the world around them. In Corinth, there was a very great big level of idolatry and sexual immorality, and they lived. As a matter of fact, the city of Corinth, it was an ancient Vegas. Amen. 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 It was an ancient Vegas. When folk wanted to have fun, they'd go to Corinth. Amen. Praise the Lord. It was there in Corinth that anything went. Amen. Whatever happened in Corinth stayed in Corinth. And some of this had creeped into the church. Matter of fact, some people who were a part of this church had began to take on this this callous attitude whereby they felt like they were better and more than others in the church. Looked down on them. Matter of fact, everything they said was I. Very seldom was it a we. Amen. They were all about themselves. That was the personality and the attitude which had come in. And so Paul begins to teach them in a loving way that you too have had some bad steps in life. But for the grace of God, you are where you are. So since you've experienced his grace, appreciate that. Take time and appreciate that God has brought you out. It doesn't call for time for looking down on people. But a time to thank God. And so verses 4 and 7, he teaches that. But then it's in verses 8, he says that we should appreciate what God is doing. What God is doing. Verse 8 says, who will sustain you to the end and guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, not only should you thank and appreciate God for what he has done, but be grateful and thank God for what he's doing even now, whereby we have been, God has brought us out, delivered us, and strengthened us. He is, as though Paul is saying to the church, he said, but you still got some tuning that needs to be done. Can I just say this parenthetically? You know, I know we said cliche, but we ought to just really think about what we say when we say this. You know, look, y'all, nobody's perfect. All of us have made some mistakes. All of us have done some wrong. And the beauty of verse 8 is that Paul says that God, for the believer, continues to wipe the slate clean. He sustains you. He keeps you. He strengthens you even while, watch this, even while you are tempted. And when you fall to temptation. He says, and when you have repented and when you become born again, he says, God has given you this special thing called grace, which, watch this, covers you. Amen. The blood of Jesus. Remember our illustration on last week, whereby it teaches each of us, and as he's talking to this church in Corinth, helping them to understand that no person in the church has a right to fault find and fact find on other people. It says because as believers, we recognize that God is wiping the slate. Which means that if God can forgive you, he'll forgive others. Amen. Does that make sense? You know, the verse says, who will sustain you to the end. Guiltless in the day of our Lord. Look, none of us are really guilty. Are really innocent. None of us are really innocent. None of us are innocent. Amen. And remember, they were finger pointing. Watch this. Matter of fact, many of them, they were living in sin. They were doing stuff that nobody else saw. But they were, watch this, call themselves exposing other people. And Paul calls their mind to the fact that he says, look, don't live like that. He said, because it is but for the work of God that you are blameless. You are blameless and you can walk with your head up. Only because God makes you guiltless. It's because of God. Look, let me just tell you the truth, y'all. I got skeletons in my closet. I don't want nobody. Amen. 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 Ain't no need you trying to creep around and try to find out what I've done in my past. I'm going to tell you, I'd messed up. Yeah, I have. I've done some stuff. I got stuff in my closet, bones, skeletons in my closet that I don't want nobody to know nothing about. I'm just talking about me. I'm just talking about me. So ain't no need. I'm just let you know. I'm just talking about me. But thanks be to God. He wipes the slate clean. See, being reminded of my own skeletons will keep me from trying to unlock other folk closets. It'll keep me from trying to open up other folks' closet. Attempting to expose other people and make other people look. Is that right? Because truth be told, all of us. Oh, yeah, I know. I know you dress real nice, you look real good, you know what I'm saying? But baby, dressing nice and looking good don't cover up. What covers us is the grace of
God. It is by his grace. That's what the text says. The text says, I'm in the Bible. The text says that it is because of him who sustains us and makes us guiltless.
So that we can go before Christ. Watch this. Here it is. Watch this.
Come you know on now.
It's as if there is a chalkboard. And your name has been written on the board. Your name has been written on the board. You and your sin. Been there. He's a fornicator. Paul White. A liar. He's lied. Paul White.
Bless the Lord.
He was a brawler. Paul White. I said brawler. That means put them hands on. He drank a little bit something. Name is on the board. But because of the grace of God, that's what he says. He said, guiltless in the day of the Lord. Let me help those of us who have accepted Christ as our Savior. Let me help you understand that, you know, him wiping the slate does not give us a green light to sin. But it does give us some grace to rely on. When we fall, we understand that we've got a Father that we can cry out to in repentance, and he will. Don't let nobody hold your mistakes and your stuff over you. And this is what many of them were doing. Don't let folk hold it over you and try to keep you. Yes, thank you. In bondage. You've been set free. So he says that guiltless before. Yeah. Look. When we see Jesus, see that's the day you ought to be looking for. For when we see Jesus, see what? Let me just say this. It don't matter. It don't matter what other folk, you know, think about you. As it pertains to your relationship with Christ. It's when you see Jesus. Will you be able to stand? And he looked at the board and said, well, you going on. It's clean. It's been wiped. That's what we are. So he helps them to understand that we have no right to look down on others. And don't be influenced by devilish people. Amen. You know, devilish folk. Amen. Will make you think that living in your sin is all right. Yeah. Devilish folk. Amen. He says, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. But then it's in verse 9 where we begin to close, and he says, God is faithful. He is, watch this. And so with this, what he does is he tells us, you know, the first three verses he teaches us, you know what I'm saying, appreciate what God has done. Verse 8 he says, appreciate what God is doing. But then this verse he says, trust all that God does. Trust everything God does. He says, God is faithful. He is literally saying to them in the church at Corinth, you can trust God. Because many of them were trusting and relying on their own achievements. Remember what they achieved and what they had done. They would remember we talked about this. They would throw it in the face of other people and make other people feel as though and begin to boast about what they've done. He says, bring the trust from yourself. Place the trust in God. Because truth be told, look, I didn't write the Bible and I can't add to it, but I did come up with a little proverb of my own. He that relieth on himself will always fail. Amen. All you can trust is you, baby, you will never be successful on this Christian journey. He says, God is faithful. He says, God is faithful. God can be trusted. Paul means that God can be trusted. He said, he appears to be attempting to call the Corinthians to trust God alone. Trust God. Trust God what God does. You see, he'd be saying, look at what God has done for you, and look at what God is doing for you. It's almost as if he's saying, how can you not trust him? You can trust God. You can trust God. You can trust God with everything, in every facet of your life. You can trust God. You can trust God with every point in your life. You can trust him. You can trust him even when you can't trace him. You can trust him. You can trust, watch this, you can trust the heart of God. And the heart of God is that he wants the best for his children. Which says that God always does the right thing. Now hear me well. It has nothing to do with whether or not you feel like it's right. But it has everything to do with whether or not God is right. God always does the right thing. You can trust God. Trust God, he says. God is faithful. Look, you can trust God, his faithfulness, because there are moments that God does things. There are a couple of times that God does things, and we might not necessarily understand it. There are moments when God, we will go through things, and God is teaching us. Yes, yes. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. They got kicked out of the Garden of Eden by God. But he did it to teach them to obey him. Sometimes God will do some things in order for you and me to realize, watch this, that I want you to learn the lesson. There are moments you got to trust God when he's teaching you, when he's teaching us. That moment God will be teaching us things. God, why didn't it work out? Well, God was teaching you to obey him, to trust him, to lean on him. Matter of fact, what got Adam and Eve in trouble was they started hearing what Satan was saying and stopped hearing what God was saying. And pride got in there. Because what happened? What happened? What happened? The servant says, look, you will be just like God. Oh, really? Give me two of them. No, I'm just. The moments when God, we trust God when he teaches us. Amen. And when that means that we really submit ourselves to what is the lesson, Lord. God is faithful. There are moments he is teaching us. There are moments when he's training us. Put us in some situations we don't necessarily want to be in. We say, well, look, that person is there, that person is there. I'm here. Come on, Lord, what's up? I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, I want 1,000 members. I want to pastor 1,000 members. And the Lord said, you can't handle 1,000. Learn where you are. Be groomed and trained where you are. There are moments that God is training us. We see big things and we see where we think we ought to be. We see what we want to do. But God is saying, wait a minute, hold your horses. I'm trying to train you right now. Come here, Moses. Moses would tell you, look, I was in Pharaoh's house for 40 years. But then, you know, the Lord, I thought that the Lord was just going to send me straight back to Egypt to get his children. But you know what he did? He made me a shepherd for 40 years. With some sheep. Taught me how to lead and take care of sheep for 40 years. Come here, you're going to get it in a minute. There's some moments that God will place us in what may appear to be some undesirable situations in our life, but you ought to trust him and understand that he's training me. Amen. 40 years later, he was able to lead the children of Israel. So there are moments you got to trust God. When he's teaching, when he's training, then there are moments you got to trust God when he's testing you. Sometimes God tests us. There are moments he tests us. You look. I'm afraid to tell you, well, not afraid to tell you, I'm afraid that I got to tell you that there are some of us who are still in the kindergarten of Christianity. Because we keep flunking the tests. Amen. We keep failing the tests. We want to be elevated, 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 elevated. And the Lord continues to test our faith. And we keep flunking the test of faith. The Lord brings some things to test us, and instead of us continuing to trust him and move on, we leave. Look, I never understood this. I never got this. I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm still trying to understand it. Why is it when we get problems and people talk about, well, Reverend, you know what I'm saying? I was having some problems, so I stopped going to church. No, baby, that's when you ought to keep coming. God tests us. He says, God is faithful. He can be trusted. Come here, Job. Job would tell you that he'll test you. He'll test you. He was sick. People tried to make him doubt God. He said, no, 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 no. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He was losing stuff. Sometimes they were, you lost everything, Job. You know, hey, he said, well, you know, God giveth, God taketh. Job, won't you get on up from there? Move, get. Job, you got to move, man. I mean, he says, all the days of my life, I'm just going to wait here until my change comes. I'm being tested. I don't know what God is up to, but I know that he knows what he's up to. And there's got to be a point in our lives where we recognize we can trust him even when we're being tested. And the beauty of this is that God is the only proctor. And your proctors are those who administer tests. You go to take a test for those of us who've gone to secondary education. Which one is it? Well, which one is it when you go to college? My wife said college. You go to take the test, and the proctor administers the test, but he just sits there and watches you to make certain you don't cheat on the test. Make certain you finish it on the time you're supposed to and things of that nature. He makes sure that you abide by the rules. But God is a different type of proctor. He's the only one, he's the only proctor that while you are taking the test, he'll give you the answers. Matter of fact, he'll stand there right next to you and say, when you need some help, let me know. Might have been what the old spirits were saying or meant when they said, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help. The question is, do you trust God? No, not your situation and your circumstance, but do you trust God? He says, God is faithful. Every facet of your life, you can trust him. You can depend on him. And here's the thing he says, he shows us. He said, let me help you understand how faithful God is. It's right there in the B clause of the verse. He says, by whom you are called into fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ. Says that he partnered, that's what that word fellowship really means. Koinonia in the original language, it means to partner. It means to partner with. He says, or to communicate, to be in communion with. He says that he has partnered you with Jesus. Look, y'all, that's shouting territory right there. God is so faithful that he gave you a partner to walk every step of the way with you. Somebody sang a song, Never Alone. I don't have to worry because I'm never alone. Jesus walks with me every step of the way. He says, you are in fellowship. You are in partnership with Christ. And let me help you understand something about partnership. Partners don't fight. Partners want the same thing, or they have the same mind. Or even if they don't have the same mind, watch this, they work it out until they get the same mind. Partnership. You're in partnership with Christ. He said you are fellowshipping with Christ. And if you're in fellowship with Christ, then that means, watch this, that you live under the authority of Christ. Live by his example. Christ doesn't follow our example, we follow his. Christ was so loving and so kind and so merciful. Sometimes you just wonder if everybody is really a partner of Christ. You ever played spades?
Oh yeah. A little bit.
You ever played spades? A bid whiz?
Oh yeah.
And look, if you're as serious about it as I am, you don't just get no anybody to be your partner. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Come on now. I mean, you know, if you Trump tight and you, and you know, I know to send, you know, I know to send it your way so you can cut. Huh? I'm going to play off. Is that right? You don't know nobody that's going to be cutting against you. I mean, you know. You got the little joker. They got the big joker. You throw the little joker out there. You got the book. You got the book. They the last one. They get it, come around them. They gone. Partners. When we partner with Christ, huh? Watch this. We work with him. Huh? Not against him. Does that make sense? We don't cut him out. He said, love one another. And you make a, you know, you make an excuse for why you can't love one another. Well, I would, but you cutting Christ out. He said, forgive one another. And you figure out ways not to do it. You cutting them out. Why should we be so gracious for this partner? Because of the sacrifice he's made for us. Out on Calvary. He died for your sins and for mine. Scripture teaches us that he got up on the third day with all power in his hand. Can you trust him? Can you trust him as your partner? Can you trust him? Are you willing to walk with him? That's what Paul is saying. Walk with him. Let us pray. Lord, we say thank you. We bless you and we magnify you. We lift you up. We thank you for what you've done in our lives. We recognize that if it had not been for you, we wouldn't be where we are. But you're worthy of all the praise. We appreciate what you've done for us. You brought us, you've taught us, and you've kept us. And Lord, you're keeping us even now. We trust you, Lord, with every facet of our lives. We yield our lives to you, and we ask you to lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us extend the privileges of the church. You may come by letter. Christian experience or as a candidate for baptism, if you're here, why don't you come? While the blood is running warm in your veins, come right now.